Steve Sisolak has done. And everything he has touched has turned to whatever. No, it's been horrifying to watch everything that this governor has done has failed miserably at. You know, you look at some of the stuff that's been going on with Dieter, with the rollout of the vaccines, the inability to get to 70% herd immunity. The $5 million Sisolak Bucks deal, the closing down, what we call the Sisolak shutdown, all of that is caused by our current governor, and people are coming out of the woodwork. They want to run against him. And I'll be honest with you, I don't blame them. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue. It is Thursday, September 23rd. Good to have you with us on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
Hutchison, founding partner of the law firm of Hutchison and Steffen. We're the Nevada law firm focused on helping businesses do business, especially when governmental obstacles get in the way. As someone who has been heavily involved with state government for many years, I know how government works and doesn't work for business. With so many rules, procedures, and regulations, Nevada businesses are almost certain to become entangled with government at some point. Bottom line, if your business gets caught up in the quagmire of a dispute with government, you can count on Hutchison and Steffen to help you navigate the rules, procedures, and regulations of federal, state, county, or city government. When you have a dispute with the government, we are the go-to firm for Nevada businesses. Whether it's facing the prospect of a proceeding before a board, commission, or agency, or finding yourself in court with the government on the other side, our team will be on your side. Call Hutchison and Steffen, 702-385-2500, or visit hutchlegal.com. That's 702-385-2500, or visit hutchlegal.com.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. A shooting inside a Tennessee supermarket has left one person dead and 13 others wounded.
It happened at the Kroger store in Collierville, Tennessee. That's 30 miles east of Memphis. Police say the gunman then shot and killed himself. When police arrived just after 1:30 p.m., they went from aisle to aisle and room to room, helping the injured. Some of the employees and customers were hiding in the freezers and offices. The police chief, Dale Lane, said, quote, "The injuries to the victims are very serious."
That's correspondent Bill Alexander. Mexican authorities are moving to expel Haitians who had been gathering in large numbers at a border town along the Rio Grande.
Haitian migrants who'd been camping in Mexico in a riverside park in Ciudad Acuña awoke surrounded by Mexican security forces as a helicopter thundered overhead. A fence line and a line of state police vehicles funneled migrants back to the crossing point they've been using all week. Dozens of families opted to hustle into the river and cross the border to Texas, calculating it was better to take their chances with U.S. authorities.
The Biden administration's special envoy to Haiti, Daniel Foote, today submitted a letter of resignation. He was protesting the inhumane large-scale expulsions of Haitian migrants. Top congressional Democrats say they and the White House have agreed to a framework to pay for their emerging $3.5 trillion tax and spend plan. But President Biden's economic agenda still faces an uncertain future, with deep divisions in the party over the size of the bill. Federal officials say unruly passengers are becoming a bit less common on airline flights, but they are still causing disruptions at twice the rate of late last year. The FAA says its zero-tolerance policy is helping. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 507 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
All right, right now, people are home with their pet more often, and I think especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue.
Nala's got some skin issues. He gets really going and scratching.
Excessive shedding, a lot of just scratching and itching.
Digging, scratching and itching and biting. On top of that, he was starting to get black buildup in his ears.
DinoVite.com.
I just heard the Dinovite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot. And I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
We started Dinovite, and in our first box, we noticed a difference, especially with the shedding.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
We've got 4 dogs, all different ages, all different sizes, and they've all just responded really well to the Dinovite, and they all love it.
We will be using Dinovite for life.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
We order our Dinovite from Dinovite.com.
DinoVite.com.
Both were prosecutors in the Clark County District Attorney's Office, each with 25 years of experience. One was chief of the Special Victims Unit, the other chief of the Homicide Unit. Both dedicated, both respected. Together, they are Craig Hendricks and Frank Como, the Vegas Dream Team for criminal defense you need in your corner. Call 702-222-9999 or visit VegasDreamTeam.com, a division of DeCastro Verde Law Group.
A union we can count on. A union with a legacy known for hard work and getting things done. We're the ones who built this city with pride. Our members are our family. And their well-being is our number one priority. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
It's 4:04. This is your KMCQ News Flash, powered by DeCastro Verde Law Group. If you've been injured, their family will fight for yours. I'm Jim Dallas. He reported on politicians, and now he wants to be one. Former News 3 weekend anchor and reporter Gerard Romolho has announced plans to run for the Republican nomination of Nevada Secretary of State. Incumbent Barbara Sagavsky, the lone Republican to currently hold statewide office, is termed out from running for re-election. Romolho was one of more than a dozen News 3 employees who were laid off back in March by station owner Sinclair Broadcasting as it eliminated hundreds of jobs across the country. The Vegas Golden Knights open training camp with the news that the team is fully vaccinated against COVID-19. A start to the team's fifth season features a new number one goaltender, new players at the forward position, and the same Stanley Cup aspirations as they've had since their inaugural season. The Golden Knights open the season October 12th at T-Mobile Arena against the NHL's newest franchise, the Seattle Kraken. And talk about a great return on your investment. A guest playing Ultimate Texas Hold'em at the Venetian made a $5 side bet and then was dealt a spade royal flush. It paid just a little more than $1 million. So congratulations to that anonymous player.
On time traffic. It's powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Come in now and get up to $50 off brake pads or shoes and a lifetime warranty. A
lot of congestion on the 15 through the resort corridor right now. Northbound at Sahara, south at Charleston. Do expect some backups as you enter the Spaghetti Bowl downtown. US 95 southbound at Southern Rancho and very slow 515 westbound at Eastern.
Gather around. And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are, well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken enough of that.
And what makes his wild claims and hopes, he now hopes we don't notice what he said or won't remember. And when he does follow through or doesn't do, when he followed through, the exact opposite.
Check it out.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. When you think about it.
Don't call me stupid.
Oh, right! To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people!
Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out! Number three!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
The challenge for the Republican Party in the state of Nevada, turning this state back to a red state, and a guy that would like to be a part of that is John Kovacs. He's a candidate for Congress in Nevada's 3rd Congressional District. He's an America First conservative. He's a contractor, civil engineer, and he joins us now. John, how you been? Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Kevin, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate you giving me the time and opportunity to discuss my candidacy and why I feel I'm going to be a phenomenal candidate and a phenomenal choice in Nevada's 3rd Congressional District for this upcoming November's election in 2022.
I want to ask you, because it's a question I ask every candidate that comes on the show, especially when they're just kicking off their candidacy, and that is, I know it's a lot of work. It costs a lot of money. It's a lot of time away from your family. And why are you going to the trouble? What is it that pushed you over the edge to where you said, I got to run against Susie Lee?
Kevin, I have to tell you, it's everything you just said and more. If you're not committed, if you're not dedicated, this is not for you. I'm a contractor. I own a construction company. I'm in business 30 years. I moved to Nevada 6 years ago to expand my construction company. Prior to then, the only experience I had, I was a political outsider. I was on the school board in my hometown, and when I saw, and I was very content with the direction that President Trump was taking the country. I know he was getting fought at every turn, but nonetheless, we were going in the right direction. Upon the inauguration of President Joe Biden, what he did, killed the Keystone, he rescinded the Keystone XL pipeline, and then immediately thereafter, he started to systematically undo some of the, a lot of the border protections that President Trump had in place, and then from there, it just kind of went downhill after that, and I was fuming, frustrated, like everyone else when I saw that happen, and unfortunately for me, I was in a position, or I am in a position where I'm equipped with my background that I could actually do something about it in terms of getting involved and making a difference. And that's what I did, and that's what I chose to do. And the funny story I tell everybody, you know, if at some point you throw your slipper at the TV, I was running out of slippers and I was running out of TVs. I had to do something.
I love that. One of the things that the big challenge is coming up with somebody who can beat Susie Lee. Susie Lee has been an ethics nightmare with the story about the stock trades and all of that, and being late on reporting and things like that. What do you know about Susie Lee relative to that? It seems as if she doesn't take the rules and regulations very seriously.
No, she does not. I know beginning in early 2020, she had a special PPP carve-out for her husband's business. I'm very familiar with that. She's been in the headlines recently for delinquently reporting over 200 stock trades. It's one thing to delinquently report one or two, but 200, I'm not really understanding how that happens. And some of those trades were actually reported as being favorably in her favor just prior to the COVID-19 pandemic hitting. That in and of itself would be one thing, but it really doesn't end there. The most egregious is she doesn't really take a position seriously. That person was celebrating at the Cosmopolitan, dressed up as a boxer at a costume party on 9/11. Horrifying. The rest of the country is in national mourning on the 20th anniversary. She's yucking it up, having a good time. This is someone who should be really admonished for that type of behavior and that type of conduct. That's the most egregious of all. It's horrible enough that the financial scandals are there, and the only time you ever hear of her speaking about, whenever she comes up, it's always in the context of her helping out herself. It's never in the context of her helping out others. I mean, I don't see her on the top of the Hoover Dam looking down and saying, hell, where's all the water? Nothing like that. she's not that vocal in anything, but the only time she comes up is when she's at a party. She was, you know, in California not too long ago at a fundraiser for Nancy Pelosi. No mask. Everybody's supposed to be wearing a mask. She's not. Cosmopolitan, same deal. Having a good time. You know, you start to wonder if she really has a heart in it anymore, and who she really there to serve, herself or us. And that's really what, you know, policy differences are policy differences, but it's more than that. She really has kind of carved out a niche for herself as someone who really is not capable of running this, of being on Congress and help and participating in running of the country, really. And that's really why I'm running. One of the reasons why I'm running, and I think that she is extremely vulnerable as a result of that. People see what people see. How could you be? You're a congresswoman. The entire country at this particular point in time is not exactly going good for, and everybody recognizes, including Chuck Dodd, who had a lot to say about it on Sundays, on his Sunday broadcast, and the guys are very much of Democrat, and in spite of that, she's kind of oblivious to all of it. So no, she really needs to go, and I'm very confident that in this upcoming election cycle, that the voters in my district will make the right choice and do the right thing and for once and for all get rid of her.
Again, John Kovacs joining us, candidate for Congress in CD3, trying to unseat Susie Lee. Does she vote with Nancy Pelosi? I don't mean to ambush you. You may have a number, you may not have a number, but there's always that number that they voted 97% with Nancy Pelosi. Do we have any numbers on Susie Lee and how she's voted?
Yes, she's not. She doesn't not vote with Nancy Pelosi. She does vote with Nancy Pelosi. She's going to vote with Nancy Pelosi on the $3.5 trillion Democratic proposal. You definitely know about that.
Do we know that for sure, by the way? Has she announced? Because normally they don't announce until they actually do the vote. Well, we're still evaluating, they always say. And then they take it right down to the wire. And they, you know, usually about 3 a.m. Washington time, they end up doing the vote.
You're 100% right. But you know what? Nancy Pelosi is very confident. And when her statement was recently that she feels she's confident she has the vote. So, I mean, who is she counting on? Some, you know, some hardcore Republican? No. She's counting on her people and her caucus.
I got to ask you about money. It is expensive running for Congress, and I'm not sure if you're self-funding or if you're accepting donations, but talk a little bit about the challenges in a very busy political time. I mean, you look at the race for governor, and there are a bunch of people lined up around the block. You got folks in CD3 and CD4. Can you talk a little bit about the fundraising aspect and how difficult is it being a guy that's kind of a political outsider?
Absolutely. Yeah, speaking of which, we are fundraising. We're always looking for donations. We have a website, kovacstocongress.com. Go to it. Please donate. And on there we have a lot of issues that we also talk about. We have a Facebook page, and on that, we same deal. We're asking for donations. Go to our Facebook page. Make donations. You're going to like the content that you see on our Facebook page. It's going to resonate with the people. And don't, you know, please donate. So in that respect, yes, we're certainly asking for donations and things like that. However, as you know, yeah, it's extremely expensive, and a lot of people, you know, they don't realize some of the costs that are involved in running a campaign. And like I said, fortunately, in my respect, you know, I'm in a position where I could kind of, we all need money. I mean, if Michael Bloomberg taught us anything, all the money in the world is not going to get you elected. So you all need money, and more importantly, you need money from the people who are going to vote for you, because that's where the confidence comes from. People in the district have to really give money to the candidate. It doesn't matter that you could raise hundreds of millions of dollars like some of the senators people do, all outside the district. And then when it comes time for the election, that money doesn't exactly translate into votes. So the money aspect, because, yeah, you have mailings and you have television ads and commercials and all kinds of stuff going on. Yes, you need it for that. But more importantly, a lot of people that you see, especially recently in the last 5 years or so, 10 years, everybody's trying to get money from outside the district. We got to really try hard to get money from inside the district, because that money translates into hard votes. The money outside the district, it'll buy a TV commercial, but it's not going to get you a vote if people don't like it. So, yeah, it's an uphill climb. You have to be able to balance the money and not lose sight. A lot of people think it's just a big thing, but it's just a big fundraising type of effort. It's not. The end of the day is not to see who raises the most money. It's who garners the most votes. And you have to be smart about how you're spending it, where you're raising it, because people have gotten in trouble for how much money you're raising from outside the district if you raise too much from outside the district. So you got to be really, as a candidate, it's not just about raising money. It's where it's coming from, and is it going to translate into votes for you, and is it really coming from the people who are supposed to be elected? Because then they feel like they've been left out of the state. They've been disenfranchised because all the people who gave money to a campaign might be outside of their district. So it's a balancing act, and thankfully, I was very fortunate to have very smart people on my staff who are very adept at that balancing act, and we're doing a phenomenal job.
John Kovacs is the name. He is a candidate for Congress in Nevada's 3rd Congressional District, and I know a question that I'm going to get a lot from listeners over the course of the next few weeks is, John Kovacs, is he a conservative? Are you?
Absolutely. My tagline is American exceptionalism, and I believe in it because I lived it. My parents came here, first-generation Americans. I'm a first-generation American. They came here to follow the American dream. I'm living the American dream. And the reason I'm living the American dream and my brothers are living the American dream, my parents were fortunate enough to do that, is because we embraced what this country was about. We embraced the founders of the country. We embraced the work ethic, the values, the morals of the country, and the culture of the country. We embraced, and that put us on a path to succeed. You can't succeed in a place that you really don't believe in. And and one thing about American exceptionalism, you believe in yourself, and the people that came before us were individualists, and they had nobody else to help them. They didn't come here and right away some NGO gave them some money and a pizza. No, they came up here, they looked at it, it was like, okay, there's nothing to eat, I gotta feed myself, I gotta feed my family, I gotta support myself. And out of that determination and that philosophy and that idealism of American exceptionalism, that's where that comes from. And we were all kind of, at one time it was all innate, we all had it, but now there's a big push to kind of curtail it and quash it, if you will. So and that's kind of why I'm speaking up, and you'll see in my, it's all over my entire campaign, believe in American exceptionalism, and of course all the conservative values that go along with it.
I want to ask you, because this is important relative to your race, and that is, when you go out in CD3 and you're talking to voters, tell me, give me the top two things they want to talk to you about.
Without a doubt, the number one thing by far, election integrity. I hate to say it because it's so true, and people are like, I don't want to vote. I'm afraid to vote. My vote's not going to count. And then they say, what are you going to do about my vote? And we've been to, my campaign and I, we've been to a lot of workshops and things like that, learning about what we can possibly do. Do we file another lawsuit? What do we do? There's currently some litigation already going on in the state. Do we tack on to that? The election integrity is huge, 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 because, it wasn't transparent in the last election, not just in our state, but people turned on the TV, and quite frankly, you didn't have to be a rocket scientist to see it happening right in front of you, and people are extremely frustrated by that. And the other side doesn't make it any easier by, trying to thwart some of the oversight when you have a poll watcher say, hey, can I see those ballots, and somebody says no you can't. I mean, what does that tell, how does that help anybody's the credibility of the election? So hopefully we could get that cleaned up. I know there's a big push to get that cleaned up prior to the election, and hopefully that'll happen. And the next thing that you hear a lot about, and I'm sure you could probably guess, critical race theory in the school district. Horrible for the kids, And, you know, the only silver lining of the COVID-19 tragedy is that the kids were learning were learning remotely at home. The parents are overlooking or watching over their shoulder, seeing what's on the computers, and they're scratching their heads and say, "You've got to be kidding me. I cannot believe they're teaching you this garbage, or they're teaching you this perspective or this point of view." And it's, you know, the three things: reading, writing, arithmetic. I'm a civil engineer, and I like to think of myself as being super, super smart. I know a lot about accounting. I know a lot about finance. I have banking relationships literally all over the country. I was able to move and start a business from one state to another in a place where you're not really welcome that hard, you know, that openly, and nonetheless still succeed. And you do it on reading, writing, arithmetic. You don't do it on complaining or being a victim or some of the other things that you hear propagated on the television on a nightly basis. So those are the two things that really people are very concerned about. The older people, election integrity; the younger people, critical race theory.
Wow. John, in our final minute, if folks want to reach out to you, you say you need money. I'm sure you need volunteers and yard signs and all of that stuff.
We need them all. Go to CovexForCongress.com is my website. Follow us on Facebook, John Kovex for Congress. We have a phenomenal Facebook page. We talk about all the issues. And one other thing I want to get in there is drugs and the opioid crisis. That's something that turns my stomach, and that's something I really want to help. Our children and our citizens are being killed. It's poison. Fentanyl is killing us. And you know what? You almost feel like it's being done by design. Like they're killing your kids, and all of a sudden, all these unaccompanied minors are coming across the border. It turns your stomach. And as a parent, everybody's a parent out there. Who the hell wants to see their kid either go succumb to drug abuse, or worse yet, just be a zombie? Nobody wants that. And that's something that one of the other things that I'm really going to be vocal. I'm not going to be quiet about anything. I'm going to be an extremely vocal congressman for the right things for the people. And you know, the other thing too, by the way, we don't have any water in our state. That's another thing I'm going to really, really tackle.
John Kovex, best of luck. Safe travels as you move across CD3. We'll be keeping track of you, and I'm sure we'll talk again. Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it, and best of luck.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it. Remember, KovexForCongress.com. Thank you.
There you go. John Kovex, candidate for Congress in CD3. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue. I'm Kevin Wall. Good to have you with us on AM 670 KMZQ.
Breaking news, newsmakers, and political heavy hitters, all before the sun comes up. The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekday mornings from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
It's called Behavioral Economics, and it's devoted to exploring how we make financial decisions, including the bad ones. Behavioral economics tries to pinpoint where our brains and emotions lead us wrong, as well as what we can do about it. For a little insight on that, we turn to America's wealth coach and best-selling author, Coach Pete DeRuta. Coach, making emotional financial decisions can be disastrous.
You want to talk about emotions during a decision process? Think about the last time you and your wife were in the car and you wanted to go somewhere to eat.
Where do you want to go?
I don't know. You know, the funny thing always was my wife says she doesn't care until I decide where to go, and then she doesn't want that. There we go.
Been there, done that.
So the very important part is we need to analyze the fact that our brains think differently, and especially when it comes to the money world. With restaurants, Steve, at least we know what that kind of food tastes like, what it looks like, and what the restaurant is like. We haven't been to retirement yet.
You're right. Absolutely.
We don't know what it really looks like. We don't know what we're going to want to do. The hardest part for me is sitting down with folks and helping them figure out, number one, where they are right now in the financial world, but number two, what they want to do in retirement all the way through retirement, not the day of retirement, but 30 or 40 years down the road. And so that's called true retirement planning. It's looking at your portfolio, making sure that some of that is protected, making sure that you understand the risks of retirement, the long-term care, needing some life insurance maybe, because we're all going to pass away. You know, Steve, life insurance is the one investment that's guaranteed to pay up. And so life insurance policies these days will also pay for your long-term care if you have the right policy. But a true retirement plan comes first with you in mind and then designing where you want to be. And if you are one of the next 10 people to call, we'll do that at no cost or obligation. That's a $1,000 value. You also get a three-book set of three of the eight books that I've written over my life.
A great offer any way you look at it. And that's a great offer, Coach. If you'd like in, give us a call, 888-702-6932. You can also